Hey, friend. Welcome to Houston Made, a show where I, Rusty Gates, get to talk with local Houston-based entrepreneurs and business owners about what it's like to be in the middle of that journey and selfishly gain insights as I build my own business. In this episode, I got to sit down with my very good friend, Clay Harkey, the co-founder, owner, and data analyst for Twisted Arrow Goods. It's a local shop right here in Houston where you can buy all kinds of leather goods, home goods, woodworking products. They've got wallets, belts, candles, knives, clothing. Really, they've got it all. And this is actually the second half of the conversation that I got to have with Clay. So if you haven't heard part one yet, I'd recommend that you go back and listen to that episode first, where we discuss how Twisted Arrow has evolved over the years, the unique challenges of building a brand, and Clay's transition from data scientist to leather worker. Before we jump in, I just want to say a quick thank you for tuning in. I am really amazed when I see that people like you take time out of your day to enjoy these conversations. So thank you. Now, listen in as Clay and I continue our conversation and discuss what drives us through the difficult parts of our businesses, how different generations define a quote unquote good job, and the importance of validation in the life of a small business owner. Now, as you get into it, you start to think about those things.
Yeah, and that's
pay attention a little more.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that like kind of ties into like having a business like this, because there are lots and lots and lots of talented people in Houston and across the country, across the globe, who could probably do this stuff way better than I can.
Yeah,
I mean, I know there's people who do a better job than I can at this sort of stuff. The difference is like, can you pay your bills while you're doing it, right? And whenever you stop doing this as a hobby and you start doing this as a job, your mentality changes, right? It's no longer, I mean, it's still fun to do, but like you're not necessarily doing it because it's fun.
Yeah.
You're doing it because it's your job.
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing to grasp.
It's well, and it's a big transition too.
I mean,
like the stakes feel like they get a little higher. I mean, I've felt that way even with this show as I've gotten further into it and really invested more into it. And I don't just mean financially, though that is a part of it.
Of course.
But my time and my energy and week after week, I'm spending more and more time. It's like, well, now I'm doing the Instagram graphics and I got to write copy and I've got to write the intro and outro and I've got to record it all.
Yeah.
Got to schedule guests and leave my family to record.
Oh, by the way, he scheduled me by just texting me today. So just kidding.
It happens.
We planned it a month out. It's fine.
And it's going to be released within 48 hours. I assure you.
Oh, really?
I'll stay up tonight.
That's awesome.
But like all that to say is like,
I called you out on that. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I'm okay with it. Let's leave it in here. But all that to say of like you treat it differently.
Yeah.
It's not about fun. There are absolutely this conversation is fun.
Oh, yeah.
Editing it, we'll see. But
it can be fun if you get like a really good edit.
Yeah, it depends on who the conversation is.
Right.
We'll see.
Exactly.
But like there are elements. But I say that the difference is that once you see the potential for a thing and what it can be, maybe this like I'm starting like immediately drawing analogies to parenthood. But like when you see the potential of what it can be, it pushes it past. It pushes you through the crappy parts of it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like it's not always fun. And actually, there's probably more not fun parts that you have to deal with on day to day or week to week basis. But because you see like, oh, man, like this could open that door or it could lead to this or it could become this thing. And because of that, I'm willing to do more and more crappy things.
Oh, yeah.
And difficult things because you have the opportunity. I also want to say this of we talk about the way that things have changed with education in our society. It feels like there's been this interesting shift in America's not perfect, but like in the way that we view jobs and the classes and the status of like white collar, blue collar.
Right.
My mom used to joke that like if I didn't like get my shit together that one day, like, were you going to be a mechanic?
Oh,
and she would
say
it like
you'd be
that.
A truck driver.
Yeah. And it was like, it was a joke, a running joke that we had. Also, just because we know that, like, she knew who she was raising was like, you're not going to be a mechanic.
Yeah.
that's not where your life is headed.
Stick with the computer.
So I think that it was less about her judgment of mechanics and more also her judgment of her son.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, you know, that the late boomer generation, Gen X, whatever they are, the older generation, parents' generation, looking at us and saying, look, well, you can be whatever you want to be. So try to be a doctor.
Right.
Try to be a lawyer.
Exactly.
Try to be one of these things because you can be anything you want to be.
Yeah.
And we heard that and we're like, well, those jobs suck. I don't want to do that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to be damage school. And
I want to make TikTok content.
I want to make TikTok content. I want to be a mechanic.
I want to be a YouTuber.
And the shift of that is it's more and more acceptable to do those things. To be like, I think one of the guys that I respect a lot, he has a crazy, insane coaching business, which I just think that if you actually can pull that off, like, what a great gig.
Right.
And a part of the way he supported himself in doing that is because he knew how to repair motorcycles. He learned motorcycle repair as a trade. He used that to finance and flip motorcycles, which they used to finance his coaching businesses. He got it off the ground. And like, he's a mechanic. And I'm looking at him like, it's actually really cool to be a mechanic.
Yeah.
Like you can fix stuff and make it work and make it better. And
yeah. You know how it works.
It's so, and so like when I think about my boys and think about, hey, you can be whatever you want to be. Like you can't be everything, but like if you could be a mechanic, but like be a good mechanic.
Yeah.
Like
whatever you're going to do, be good at it.
Be good at it. Yeah. But like, who cares what that is? I just feel, it does feel like there's less judgment on like,
I definitely think that like the older generations are starting to see like we're like, our content might be funny, but like, we're not kidding around.
Yeah.
You know, like this is what we want to do. We know that we can make money doing it. We just have to work hard to get there. And I think it plays within like this, it's like this myth of like being a small business owner, right? Like, everybody thinks that whenever you become a small business owner, you just can do whatever you want. You get to work whenever you want.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just close a shop when I want to and things like that. I do that, but
yeah, sure.
But like there's just like this idea of like you can just do whatever you want, and like that is so not true.
Yeah.
Like that is a myth, right? Like I do more things that I don't want to do than things that I want to do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I know they need to get done so that I can pay myself.
Yep.
And, you know, I that's just one of those big like myth things. And to go back to what you're saying, like you learn a trait to do something. I had a full-time job that funded this.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't just have this money laying around. I grew up poor, man. I mean, something like this was not ever on the radar of being able to do, because we didn't have the money to do it, right? And it's like hard for me to hear people say something like, "Oh, I started this company, you know, with $100 in my pocket." It's like, no, you didn't.
Yeah,
no, you didn't. Like, I know how much money I invested into my business.
Yeah,
and I invested way more than I probably needed to, but I still like did it because I know that it was necessary to grow this vision that I had. You know, with that being said, like your customer is your boss.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right. I say all the time, I talk about like, you know, there's a meme that goes around that says after all of these years of grinding it out with a 9-to-5 and working 40, 50 hours a week, I finally quit so I could work 75.
Yep. Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah, there's that. And then the same thing with real estate. I feel like, you know, if I didn't like having one boss, every new client that I get is my boss. Like, they're in charge. They make the decisions literally as I'm a glorified middleman.
Right.
I think I'm a great middleman, but like, I'm providing information and counsel so that they can make informed decisions.
Of course.
And I can't make them buy a house or sell a house or any of that. And so, there are a lot of those elements that go into it that it's certainly not as glamorous. But at the same time, sometimes you can close the shop. There's little perks.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if I've got an emergency or something, I mean, I'm the only one here.
Yeah.
Most days, every day. So, you know, if I forget to pack my lunch, I got to go grab lunch. But I know that when I lock the doors to go grab lunch, I'm missing an opportunity, right? Yeah. My phone goes off. I get a notification of somebody just pulled into my parking lot. Well, I just lost a sale potentially, right? Or if somebody's in here and I'm here, but like I'm not fully aware of, you know, what's going on, potentially lose a sale. So, you know, and we think of it as just like a sale, right? Like just that transaction. But the small business owner, like when I get that sale, I think, okay, that's groceries for a week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Like that, okay, that's my electric bill.
It's funny to say it that way. I absolutely think of things in like amounts.
Right.
And I go like, okay, that amount is my car payment. So yeah. I'm going to make a car payment on this thing.
Exactly.
Or I'm going to make a mortgage on this thing. I absolutely think about income in the things that it's going to pay for.
And like a
direct correlation.
Every single time I'm about to like get a new machine or something like that, right? Like not only are you doing the analysis of how long is it going to take for me to like pay off that machine, but how am I going to pay it off? Mm-hmm. And can I pay it off? And am I going to be making money off of it later down the road? Right.
Yeah.
And, or do I take that money and put it into something else? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were doing wood, leather, and candles, that's three different markets basically. Right. So mm-hmm. we're trying to juggle, okay, well, where do we budget? Like, where do I put my money? Do I put it in the leather? Yeah. Do I put it into the furniture? Do I put it into
how much inventory
candles?
Do you have?
Right. And okay, are you focusing on that product? Am I focusing on this? Like, you know, are we dividing it up? Like, how is that going to work? But it still comes down to this idea of, are we going to make money? Right? Are we going to be able to pay our bills?
Yeah.
So that's why you pivot, right? You've got to make a little change. And It's more noticeable and it's faster when you own your own business than when you are a data scientist working for a big corporation,
sure.
right? You might have the answer that's going to solve, you know, all the problems, but you've got all the politics of a corporation
yeah.
to try to get a decision made. Whereas here it's like, hey, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Okay, cool. Let's try it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, and it, that goes both ways, man. There are absolutely days when I'm grateful that it's like, this is what I want to do and I'm going to do it. And I think it's going to work. And if it doesn't, that's on me and that's fine. I'll live with that. And then there are plenty of other days where I'm like, God, I wish somebody would just tell me what to do.
I know. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. This seems, there's no real clear answer here and I'm going to have to pick a path and it's only,
oh,
it's
yeah.
only me that gets to make the decision or has to make the decision. And
well, it's interesting. Cause like, as I grow my business, yeah, like I'm the owner, I'm the boss man, but like my employees are my boss, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm the one making things.
Yeah.
So if I don't have somebody telling me what to make, then
yeah.
you know, I'm just gonna go make something because I'm a maker.
Gosh, yeah.
Right. And then I start focusing on making something and I lose all that opportunity to using that time to like making something else. I mean, custom work is a good example, right? Okay. Somebody comes in and they want a custom purse. Okay. Well, I know my name is not big enough to where I can charge a ton of money for it, nor do I want to charge a ton of money for it because that's just not the type of person I am.
Yeah.
I want it to be a fair deal. But a lot of the times I get like the, you know, the bad end of that deal, right?
Yeah.
And the reason why I say I get the bad, I mean, the product is great. I love the customer. They love it. That's fantastic, but the opportunity cost, right? The time value of money, right? You know, I think my tote bag is somewhere around like $225. Okay, a custom tote bag might be like $300, $350,
yeah.
right? And
that's
that custom one might take me, I don't know, 5 hours, 6 hours to make, right? And those 5 and 6 hours, I can make, you know, 50 wallets,
yeah,
which I sell for.
Yeah, you your know. Profit is higher. Yeah.
Right. So like I can make more money doing something else. Yeah, I don't really necessarily enjoy making 50 wallets at a time. But at the end of the day, as I'm making those 50 wallets, I'm putting my heart and soul into it. And I know that it's going to end up in somebody's pocket. And I know that I lifetime warranty it. So I know that it better be good.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what my brand is built upon. So you know, it's full circle, right? Like you spend money to make money and you have to spend money to advertise. And then once those advertisements go through, then you got to spend time making stuff and it
yeah.
just goes. And, it's whenever you get in the rhythm of that is when I feel like you start to get, success.
Yeah.
You know, Success for me is defined completely different than somebody else. But, you know, I find that what I've been doing recently has been the most successful for me.
Okay. You know? This is actually a perfect segue to a question that we can land on.
Okay. Let's do it.
In 2018, you defined success and specifically defined success for your business. But I'm interested now, 3 years later, how you would define success. And I just want to see how close it is to what you said a couple years ago.
Oh, you're not going to tell me what
I said. No, I'm not going to tell you what you said. I want to know what you're going to say now and how you would define success and just see what you said in a different interview 3 years ago.
Oh, man. Who's interviewing me?
I can't give you those hints.
Oh, come on.
You got this. Just shoot from the hip. How would you define success?
Well, success for me is one, being like mentally healthy and physically healthy, right? Just being a healthy person and making, from like a monetary perspective, is I make enough money to where I can live the lifestyle I want to live, which is not very extravagant. I'm here every day. So I don't need a lot of things. But success for me is knowing that like I'm living my purpose, and I know that I'm doing what I need to do to be the best version of myself. I have very little, money is not the way I describe success.
Yeah.
I describe success and having great friendships and great relationships with my friends, my family, my customers. A success for me is having a customer come in and feel like family.
Yeah.
That to me is I've been successful that day or that year or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's a great definition. I would similarly say.
Wait, so like, I want to know what the other one
was. I'll say my piece, and then I'll tell you what the answer was. But yeah, I would agree. I think that I would define success similarly. It's like I want to pay my bills.
Yeah.
So like as far as my businesses go.
Yeah, of course.
Success, like at a bare minimum, has to like pay my mortgage so that like my kids aren't homeless.
And be prepared. Yeah. Right? Like you got to have enough to like,
yeah, success prepared. Really, real success for me is like not having to worry about next month. Like if I can have 3 to 6 months of kind of like, we're good.
Yeah.
And so that gives me
enough. From a financial perspective.
Yeah. From a financial perspective.
Totally.
But then beyond that, it's relationships and the opportunity to spend time with people that I want to spend time with and hang out with and invest in those relationships, and not just hopefully just take, but you know, be able to be a positive energy around people. I think it's why I enjoyed being here so much, especially when y'all first opened up this brick and mortar retail space, was just to be like, hey, I'm for you. Like, and I'm excited that I get to hang out here. And I think, yeah, so my success in July of 2018, I'll say you broadly as Twisted Arrow Goods, define success as, meeting your goals.
Oh,
yeah. Which you elaborated by saying, before starting a business plan, a sales goal, or even making a product, we calculate and discuss what we want the outcome to be and what steps are going to be needed. Then we shoot to make that come true, no matter how many tries it takes.
Yeah.
We are successful in our eyes if that goal is met. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I just like was a little bit more specific.
Yeah, for sure.
This time around. That's very broad, but.
But I think I think it's indicative of how you've changed in three years of to start by saying, like health mentally and physically is a really big part of that. And
well, I mean, you know this because you're one of my good friends, but like a lot of people don't know that like I was diagnosed with general anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. Like I don't like being around a lot of people.
Yeah.
I can change my mood very quickly with like nothing triggering it. I mean, it's weird. And, you know, I saw that the corporate life was enhancing that anxiety and, pulling myself out of that where I could, you know, slow down, is what I needed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of people need it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, you know, after this interview, go think about all the people you know who have some sort of
Certainly.
That their mental health is not all the way there, right? And, you know, I'm blessed. I've got great friends that help me out. I've got a great community around me that encourage me and help me out and try to understand. Whereas I think older generations don't really get it. And I think that's because they have not grown up with all the things that we have now. And, you know, as people become more aware, you know, I definitely see everything we've talked about, all of that changes, and we see those changes. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that people are starting to understand that a successful person is not necessarily a rich person.
Yeah.
Right. A successful person is somebody who's comfortable with who they are, and they live with purpose. Right. Yeah. I mean, part of my purpose is being able to live.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And my business is the way that I do that. I achieve that goal. So, but I think a lot of people our age and a lot of the younger generations are kind of picking up on that. It's exciting. You know, we'll see where it leads us. We'll see what type of jobs come out of this. I mean, I know people here in Houston, like they've got people that their entire job is just to manage their social media.
Yeah, totally.
That was not a job.
No.
Even 5 years ago, really?
Yeah.
You know, a salaried position? Mm-hmm. Like that was not a thing. So it's interesting. We'll see. I mean, I'm going to continue to make leather products the old-fashioned traditional way.
Yeah.
Because it works. But at the same time, anytime I can introduce some sort of technology to make things faster or better, I'm going to do it too. It's just the way that we're wired.
Yeah.
People like you and me.
People like you and me. Yeah, man. I just did say, like, I think that it's been amazing to watch you grow both as a business owner, as a person over these years. And you've been really, really gracious to give me access just to see behind the curtains with so much of this, which really was encouraging and inspiring to me as I'm building the different things that I'm building, to be like, oh, there it is. There's like, it's the wizard behind the curtain pulling the levers, but also it's like, oh, that's really cool. Those are cool levers. Like,
Yeah.
So maybe some of the magic is gone, but like so much of the beauty and the artistry of pulling levers is like, been a big inspiration to me. And I know we talk about that growth individually as people, we got out of corporate jobs to do kind of our own thing. And I know this whole show really glorifies that in a lot of ways, which is what it is. Like, it is the medium is the message.
We see a lot of these shows now because like it's a relevant thing.
Absolutely.
Right.
And with that, I also know that sometimes we absolutely just carry our problems with us, and we bring that anxiety and the stress of the corporate world, and we just make it worse by working 70 hours a week. And I think one of the best things for any of us, any of the small business owners out there, is to surround yourself with as many people who will give you access to just walk alongside one another, because there are absolutely seasons where we come in. I mean, I came in today and just been like, hey, here's the situation with some of my stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not where I wish it was.
Right. And
that's okay. Like,
and I think it's also like, there's a lot of people who are like, well, you need to surround yourself with like-minded people. And to a certain extent, I agree. But I also I pick the brains of people who own businesses that are completely different than mine.
Yeah. Yes.
And you would be surprised at how well those things can be parallelized. Like it's incredible.
Yeah.
And because of that, like, I encourage people to meet new people.
Yeah.
Like, don't just stay in like your bubble. And that's what's kind of great about this shop is like, my shop is almost like a barber shop.
Yeah.
You know, people come in, they grab a drink, they sit on the couch, you know, have a conversation with me, and you know, I'm not the best person to listen. But I try.
You put your start working on leather and they think you're listening.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't give away all my secrets. But you know, like, people could come in and just talk like we're doing right now. Just, you know, talk about all the problems in the world and fixing them, and you know, and maybe at the end of it they'll buy something out of leather, you know.
Yeah.
If not, no big deal.
Yeah.
But you know, it's also really interesting to me how you know, as brands or people who start businesses grow, mm-hmm. How we legitimize those businesses in certain stages.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, certainly.
So like, for instance, you know, the hobbyist who's making, like, okay, let me back up. When we started Twist Zero Goods, Shane Spangler and I worked out of my garage here in the Heights. There were more holes in that roof than we could count. We were turning bowls to catch water. Right. I mean, it was falling down.
Yeah.
Rats were eating our candles. I mean, we had to throw away more candles than we actually sold because the rats would come in there and eat them.
That's amazing.
It was wild, right? But you look back at that and you see, okay, well, who are your customers mm-hmm. back then, right? And a lot of people think that like your friends and family are your customers. Mm-hmm. And it's so not true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So like, it really wasn't until like we moved to a place where you're no longer like living where you're working,
mm-hmm.
where people start to like legitimize
your
business, right? And it's really interesting to me because, you know, someone like Beyonce,
mm-hmm.
who's a singer and she'll launch a perfume line.
Yeah.
That she probably did not even make.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because it's Beyonce, everybody's going to want to buy it.
Yeah.
Right. And Tesla.
Sure.
He comes up with something new and everybody wants to follow that trend. Right. But yet, you've got people in your own backyard who like need you.
Yeah.
And will graciously put your money into something way better mm-hmm. than just giving it to somebody who's going to build penis-looking rocket ships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And don't get me wrong.
Sure. Like,
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, we need innovation, all that. But at the same time.
But at the same time, like, man, like, how much more money are you going to give these corporations?
Well, and that's actually, to the Tesla thing, that it really is a testament to, well, it's a can of worms, but to the monopolization of automotive world, right?
Of course.
You actually can't just get, like, how many custom car makers are out there where you could be like, hey, you know what? I want a car. And it's, yeah, maybe it's a little bit more expensive.
Right.
Maybe it's $40,000 instead of $20,000.
Right.
But they'll put together a car and it'll be yours.
Yeah.
Like, and I know that there's dealerships and all this stuff. There's a whole bureaucracy to that and laws around it. But like, I think that's a space that like, I would love, and I don't know what that's going to look like as technology increases. But to your point, if like, especially there, it's like, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Buy a car. It's going to be from one of the big manufacturers.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas there are in other fields, whether it's leather goods or whatever. Yeah. You can get something off of Amazon and it'll be shitty and it'll fall apart.
Yeah.
And then you'll buy three more of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Or
it's just really interesting to me where people, they throw money where there is money.
Yeah.
Instead of throwing money at something that needs money, right? And like, it's not just me, right? Like,
yeah,
please come buy stuff for me.
Yep.
Like, I want you to buy things for me. But I mean, some of my competitors are some of my really good friends.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you don't buy from me, go buy from them.
Yeah.
Right? They need money just like I do. And it's, I'm not saying this is like a beggar on a pedestal. I'm saying, your friends and family, even if it's not me, right? Like, think about your friends and your family, and think about like maybe your cousin is trying to start a video game company.
Yeah.
Right? Buy his video game.
Oh,
man.
Certainly.
You know,
like,
don't go buy the next League of Legends. Play your cousin's game, man. Like, how cool is that, that your cousin is designing video games and you get to play it?
Yeah.
Right? How cool is it that, like, I'm a leather worker and somebody comes in that's friends or family that are like, hey, do you make something like this? I do.
Yeah.
Here you go. Right. And like, you're supporting something that is way bigger than you think it is.
Yeah.
Like, people don't really understand like how much work and how much money goes into owning a small business. I mean, even for you, right? Like these microphones that we're talking in are not cheap microphones.
No.
These are expensive microphones. The camera we're using is expensive, right? And like we're spending the money on it. And, you know, having people who are enjoying what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like the monetary, you know, offering is greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing. And okay, you know, everybody doesn't have all the money in the world to support all of their friends and family and all the different small businesses. Totally get it. I totally get it.
Sure.
Right. But there's also other ways that you can help support small businesses, right? Share a post on social media. I mean, geez, Louise, that's like the easiest thing you could ever do, right? Yeah. Or just tell your friends.
Yeah.
Right. Or if you buy something from me, like take a picture of it.
Yeah.
Put it on Instagram. Heck, you tag me, I might even send you a discount code. And I don't give discounts.
Yeah. Man, it goes such a long way. And again, maybe with the audience of the show, we're probably preaching to the choir a little bit. But at the same
time, one of them might, like, somebody might need to hear that.
Oh,
right?
Oh, certainly. And I would say, like, I think one of the things that you and I do unite over is, and probably our friendship is based off of the fact that we do realize that those investments, both financial, where it's like, hey, I'm going to buy a t-shirt.
Right.
You know, I've got like 4 Twisted Arrow Goods t-shirts.
I think you own every single one of them.
I've got a lot of them. And
but you also model them.
I have modeled them.
And they're still on my website too. You're welcome.
Thank you. but I think that what you and I understand, even if it is like just implicitly, is that you get to be a part of that story.
Right.
And you get to be a part of that journey. And that's why I do it. It's like part of it is, I want to be a generous guy.
Right.
But also, like, I just want to be a part of this. And I say this to some of my guests or to some of the, like, to some of the people I get to talk to through the podcast or just in my friends that I get to know, and they've let me be their friend.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, like, I'm just excited that when you're like standing on the stage that I'm going to get to go like, I know them.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when.
Oh yeah.
And like that, just getting to be a part of that. Sure. Yeah. It's all exciting to see, like, and everybody celebrate when The Rock went from being like a multimillionaire to a billionaire. Yeah.
Right.
Congratulations.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome.
You got to do it. You definitely were a part of it. You bought the movie tickets and I'm drinking soda.
Like,
but to get to see that with your friends and your family and people that you meet on the internet and say, hey, I'm for you. You don't have that many other fans, but like, I'm rooting for you.
Yeah.
It's a really big deal.
And that's, it's not like we're doing this stuff for validation either, but I'm just saying, like,
no, but it helps.
It's very,
when you're riddled with insecurity, if this is a good idea or a bad idea, or maybe I screwed up or
and
maybe
that is the small business owner, right? That is the small business owner. Like, am I doing everything right? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
You know, and that validation, like, it helps for me.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not saying everybody's got to come in here and say, you're doing a great job. No, that's not what I mean by that at all. I'm just saying, like, every once in a while you get in those funks.
Oh yeah. And it means a lot.
And it, gosh, man, it means so much. Yeah. It means so much.
Well,
so,
man, you beat me to it. You're going to do a great job. You're awesome.
No, you're awesome. And I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Way more than you appreciate me.
It's not quantifiable.
Hey man, as a data scientist.
Well, dude, thank you so much for your friendship and for always letting me be in here and hang out, and for all of your encouragement in my own projects and businesses along the way. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for without your support and people like you. So
same, man.
Thank you.
I think you've bought more soap for me than anybody
else.
Well,
that's because I had to stockpile it because I knew you weren't going to sell it anymore.
See, that's the thing. Whenever you become friends with a small business owner, you get all the inside information.
I got all the inside information and you bought it out.
I mean, how many bars of soap did you take with you last time?
I think like 10, and I think I have 3 left. So I got really excited during this conversation. We were like, well, we might make them again. I was like, oh, thank God.
Well, I mean, I did a little small batch of like pine tar.
There we go.
But yeah, anyway.
Well, Clay,
we're trying to
man.
Wrap this up.
We'll bring people your way. Twisted Arrow Goods. Awesome, awesome stuff.
Thanks, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
A huge thank you to Clay and to you for listening to this episode of Houston Made. It was a real joy to get to sit down with Clay, and he really has played a big role in my own entrepreneurial journey. So it would mean the world to me if some of you were able to go over there and buy some of his stuff. At any given point when I'm out and about in the world, I'll have no less than 3 Twisted Arrow Goods products on my person, including my Quentin wallet, my Franklin keychain, and of course, the Rusty bracelet, generously named after yours truly. So go follow Clay on Instagram at Twisted Arrow Goods. Tell him that I sent you and pick up something that will last you generations. If this is your first time listening to Houston Made, I'd absolutely recommend that you go check out some of our other episodes with guests from all kinds of industries, ranging from cocktail mix makers to eco homes, tattoo artists to authors. If you're interested in connecting further, you can find me on Instagram at Rusty J. Gates or the show at Houston Made Podcast. I'd love to connect, hear what you've got going on, and see if we can't become friends. Houston Made is hosted by me, Rusty Gates, produced and edited in collaboration with Luke Bronner. Our artwork was designed by Stephanie Leal and Sarah Elwegfi in collaboration with Mac Ryan Creative. Credit for our theme music goes to Old Friends, New Friends. And as always, Houston Made is glad to be a part of the Milieu Media neighborhood of podcasts and storytellers. We are people who care deeply about human connection, and in our neighborhood, we find that connection by hearing and appreciating one another's stories and by sharing our own. To find more shows made by amazing storytellers from all kinds of backgrounds, visit MilieuMedia.com.